Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever been millions of light years away and been digged down by an alien named Heffron?
That's Captain Heffron Williams to you.
We found out what happened with the Theoner's toast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the worst idea of all time, an exciting new chapter of season 5. Truly exciting.
That's right. It's porn o'clock down at the Boner Factory.
Whoop, whoop.
And Tim and I have just been to space.
Certainly have. In the words of Tim Curry, the one place untouched by capitalism.
We have watched Emmanuel in Space. First Contact, otherwise known as Queen of the Galaxy, a 1994 straight-to-TV movie.
Well, it was made for TV.
So it went straight-to-TV.
Yeah. But usually if I hear someone say that, I'm like, this was a movie that was intended to be on the big screen and failed to get there. This one was built for that tiny little box full of cathode ray tubes.
That's right.
Love.
It was, in many ways, it was built for TV, but also in other ways.
Built for us?
Yeah, it was built to be consumed 26 years later.
Yes.
On a laptop.
Yep.
That's probably 13 inches wide.
14.
On a Tuesday morning.
Actually, 14? It's less than that because it's 14 diagonally. Do you know that's how they measure screens?
I did know that. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
When did you find that out?
Don't know. Not
roughly.
Sure. Like a long time ago.
How long?
I don't know.
Put a year on it.
The year 2003.
Ah, that's buzzy. I found out in 2002.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
You beat me to it.
Crazy.
Hey, this movie was fucking awesome, everyone.
It
ruled.
It was a lot of fun. It had a very clear and simple little premise. It was like so nice to be set free from the sort of, obviously from the purgatory of the aeroplane. But also from the trappings of, you know, like I felt like the Emmanuel franchise was stuck within itself on this endless loop of vaguely European, like needlessly complicated. Do you know what was so exciting about this movie and what made it feel like it was propelling forward constantly?
No dubs or subs?
No dubs or subs. Also entirely told in the present tense. It was not a person telling another person about times they'd fucked.
Yeah.
It was people
fucking
learning to suck and fuck.
Yeah.
In real time. And yeah, also sucking and fucking up a storm. At one point we were on a boat cruise on the Nile in Egypt, and Captain Heffron Williams, who was both learning about his sexuality and trying to rediscover Emmanuel, who had shapeshifted, was fucking everyone on the boat.
He did well.
And everyone was having a good time, except for an exhausted and put-upon bartender who had watched Captain Heffron Williams stroll into his bar,
yeah,
seduce another beautiful woman,
yeah,
take her back to his room, and then return immediately afterwards in exactly the same outfit and do the same thing time and time again.
Bartender got his, though, when Captain Heffron got punched in the face and all the women turned on him. But let's actually tell the story of what happened, because This was a fucking great movie. Really good film.
Well, before we even tell the story, you did some research during it as to why it might have been so competently told. This movie had genuine laughs, some laugh out loud moments. In fact, none more so than what was my shining light, which was a dance scene. Captain Heffron Williams, we need some context, I suppose, to do this, is an alien. He comes across Emmanuel, and eventually she just agrees to teach him the ways of human sex and sexuality.
Well, it's his mission. He's here to learn about humans. He's part of a ship of scientists, yeah. And they're here to figure out why our world, which is so stricken with conflict and war, is. And they suspect that a big part of the reason might be how we procreate, because, as he explains, his alien species replicate by cell division. Mitosis. We replicate with meiosis.
Yeah, there was this incredible
sexual
half an hour section where Captain Heffron Williams was explaining the difference between mitosis and meiosis. And
it's
chubbed up to the nines.
It's never mentioned.
Nothing turns me on like an alien explaining human biology.
We've got a new Emmanuel now.
That's right.
For a little while.
And
she's good. Krista Allen.
So as part of the crash course in interacting and sexualizing, or like having sex with humans, Emmanuel is teaching Captain Heffron Williams the art of seduction,
mm-hmm.
which involves going to a dance floor. And he has not danced before. And she says, just go dance. And he says, how do I dance? And she says,
copy
what they're doing.
Yeah.
And he goes out and does these really cartoonish, like, starts off pretty small, like sort of rhythmic movements in his shoulders and arms, and then starts like feeling himself and just doing these big, like quite rapid arm and leg movements, and clears the dance floor. And they stay on the shot for ages.
You ever
and
seen the Bluth family trying to do what a chicken does?
Exactly.
It was that.
And he sticks to it so perfectly. And it's perfect that you should mention the Bluth family, because you discovered the director of Emmanuel in Space, First Contact, has gone on to work beyond the softcore pornography realm.
He is an Emmy. Oh, I assumed it was a he, but I don't know. Their name is Al Shapira.
Lev L. Spyro.
Is it Spyro?
Yeah.
Really? Where are we?
I'm on IMDb. Where are you?
Wait, what the fuck is happening? You're right, because... okay, they've used a different name. This is what's going on. So in the if you go to Emmanuel, Queen of the Galaxy's Wikipedia page, in the top paragraph before it gets to the kind of specs of the film, it says it was directed by Lev L. Spyro. But then when you go to the like genre written by, directed by says L.L. Shapira. So they've obviously adopted a different name for the pornos. Lev tried to dodge it. Because Lev went on to win Emmys for his work in, are you ready? Modern Family, Weeds, Arrested Development, My Name is Earl, Ugly Betty, The Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek, The OC, and Everybody Hates Chris.
Also Orange is the New Black and The Tick.
Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie. And Minutemen.
If you check out his trivia section on his IMDb as well, he's known for refusing to type LOL, even when he actually does laugh out loud.
That made it to Wiki, huh?
But there is such like deft comic touch and also very efficient and enjoyable storytelling throughout this movie.
And Emmanuel's great.
It just keeps going for, well, Emmanuel is a stand-up comedian, I am to believe.
Krista Allen has had several turns. Actress, model, stand-up comedian, a star of Days of Our Lives, Baywatch, and Final Destination, the first one. She's going to be joining us for, I believe there's seven of these Emmanuel in Space movies, and she's it for all of them. She is in the elevator scene in Jim Carrey's Liar Liar.
Yeah.
She is the buxom woman who he gets punched by when the door's closed.
Because he cannot, like George Washington before him,
he cannot tell a lie. And he keeps getting hit by women. In 2002, she's in an episode of Friends, the one where Joey dates Rachel as Joey's girlfriend, Mabel.
Ah, didn't know that.
She's in Smallville and Mutiny. What I'm saying, folks, is there was a lot of talent that went into this film, and we've progressed past the old technology. Now we're into the Days of Our Lives cameras that look kind of like weirdly high definition. Even though it was the mid-90s?
Yeah, it just made such a difference. It's really breathed new life into the... I don't know if this is canon necessarily, if you ask Sylvia Christel, but it has breathed new
life...
She's
dead, bro.
And it, well...
We can't.
Then we won't find out what she thinks of this film, but... I was so happy to see everything Americanized.
Yeah.
Like, the movie starts, we're in New Orleans, Emmanuel is having sex with some guy who wants her to commit, and she's like, no, let's keep having fun, we're still new.
And that guy, by the way, isn't, but looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Absolutely. And she then is like, okay, see you later, and leaves the house that morning, drives on the car, sees someone with a broken down car on the side of the road, stops and says, do you need help? And he speaks in this sort of stilted, half human, half alien voice and says, my transport is broken. Can I use your transport? And she says, absolutely. And away they roll, driving together. We immediately...
This was the 90s, folks. This was the Clinton administration, the height of stranger danger. Everyone was getting worried about being murdered on the highway, but not Emmanuel, because she is courageous.
She is not just courageous, but she is capable of taking anything in stride. Within 5 minutes of picking up this man to drive to the next town, he reveals he is an alien who has traveled from afar to discover... Is this right?
What?
Is this when he says he's an alien? No, he doesn't. He's just being odd and mysterious at this point. He keeps calling a car transport.
Yeah.
And they go to a cafe and she finds out that...
Oh, it's not until he shapeshifts when the cop comes to the diner that she figures out that there's something going on.
But basically, she finds out he's an alien. She's still attracted to him. He's attracted to her. He teleports them back to the alien ship. The aliens explain the basic premise of what they're doing. She is totally on board and then travels back to Earth with Hafron, Captain Hafron Williams, to help him explore sex.
And there they do. It's cool. But there's a very confusing bit in the movie that keeps coming back where the ship gives several announcements. So every time that Captain Hafron goes to fuck, they all put on these like little helmet things so they can experience the fucking alongside them, and they'll get their rocks off because their captain's having a good old time.
It's meant to be their futuristic version of TV. But basically, the spaceship narrates what is happening to all of the stewards or the crew, and they all watch along on TV, and they all become immensely aroused by watching the captain have sex.
They're kind of unfamiliar with fucking, so they don't fuck each other while it's happening.
And the first time Emmanuel and Captain Hafron Williams have sex is on the spaceship. They go to a chamber, they have sex, and afterwards the spaceship announces...
The captain is at it again.
Yeah, cleaning droids. When he climaxes, she says, cleaning droids to chamber 6.
Yeah. It's... full on. That's full on sci-fi. Get the cleaning droids in here. There's jizz and other bodily fluids everywhere.
But then after that, there are two catch cries that the ship likes to ring out with.
Yeah, now the first one is fine and humorous, which is the captain is at it again. Every time he fucks, it's like, get your helmets on, ladies and gentlemen. Hafron hath no pants on.
That's right. The captain is at it again. And the ship does not lie. Captain Hafron Williams is at it constantly and consistently. The man has a monstrous hog. He's jacked up to the nines. He's got 12 abs, and he literally cannot stop fucking.
Guy believes there is a not insignificant chance that he has silicone implants as well, the actor portraying Captain Hafron.
He's so puffed up, and his body doesn't move. Even when he's moving, his muscles remain totally still.
He's got a phenomenal 8-pack.
I don't know actually what it's like to have muscles like... that are big enough to see necessarily, like that. So I don't know if that's normal, but I just felt like he was so puffed up that there might have been implants.
The other announcement, persistent as in this, well, it's said 3 times,
it's said at least 4 times. Is and it? It's used as like a recurring, almost like interstitial or refrain that bridges scenes or moments.
Here it is, folks. Are you ready? Theo, your toast is ready.
That's right.
Theo. Who's Theo? We never meet him. We don't know why Toast is on the ship at all. I don't even know if these aliens eat. But for some reason, we hear get it again. This announcement, Theo, your toast is ready, which I can only assume is a nice little Easter egg for the... Like, it's some inside joke that our man... What's his name? Lev?
Lev Spiro.
LL Shapira, as he is credited in...
What happens if you click his hyperlink on Wikipedia?
It says it doesn't exist. Well, if you click that one, it says it doesn't exist for LL. But if you go Lev L. Spiro, which it is in the above bit, then that goes to his actual page with all his credits for his comedy TV work and a couple films.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to adopt a different working name.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it does. A nom de plume. Oh, that's for writers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Is it still a nom de plume if it's for directors?
Yeah. He went... I mean, this guy, he directed a lot of films as L.L. Shapira. Emmanuel First Contact, Emmanuel A World of Desire, Hot Ticket.
What's that? That sounds juicy.
Justine, Seduction of Innocence.
Justine, you're not the only one.
Hot Ticket sounds incredibly touch and go.
Yeah.
1995, 81 minutes, R-rated film. Two kidnapped strippers must perform erotic routines for their captors after their plane crashes near a mountain hideaway.
Dang. A plane crash and then you get kidnapped? That's unlucky.
Or you get kidnapped and then you're in a plane crash. Either way,
oh, yeah, true.
Talk about a rough day at work.
Talk about a case of the Mondays.
Talk about a case of the... yours was good. I don't know why I tried to top it. I don't know why I tried to build on it. The joke had served its purpose.
It's all good. What did you think of Krista Allen? Because I think she's awesome. And I'm really excited about spending more time with her.
Your toast is ready.
Theo.
Your toast is ready.
Do we think Theo's one of the alien scientists?
Theo, your toast is now ready. Please come and take it from me. Your toast is ready. God knows.
Can I tell you something?
God knows your toast is ready.
I was up till 1 a.m. last night catching up on all the editing and you screaming into the microphone. I can see in my audio software the waveform fucking out and me having to fix the levels as you're doing it in real time.
Just now.
It's like seeing Matrix code in front of me.
Is that what I just
It's me seeing workload.
I
6 years we've been doing this, Monty. If you're going to belt out, just dip your head a little bit away from the mic.
You know, other times, though, when I'm talking like that, you push the mic into my mouth.
It's because you're talking at a normal volume and you get too
quiet. I always
quiet.
Thought I had really good mic technique.
You do. These guys are pretty sensitive. And they're on the out as soon as those new ones come in.
Give it. Fucking give it to the tech heads. What's coming in?
What? Oh, fucking Rode Pod mics. They're not the best in the world, but they're just like, they're very obvious in what you do. You talk right down the barrel of the gun. Not like these ones, yeah. Side address diaphragm ones.
If you come across a gun, famously,
sing into
best
it.
Best to land your mouth in front of it and talk right down the barrel.
Says.
You say, don't you come out of there, bullet. You stay in your house.
Stay in there.
You stay in there, for I live in constant fear of you. What was your shining light?
Krista Allen's performance. Do you need more specificity than that?
I'd like you to cherry pick three highlights. Three.
Fuck, that's a lot, dog, but I'll do it gladly.
Three moments that said we're in safe hands, we're in experienced hands, and we're in humorous hands.
What was the joke they did that was really good? Fuck. Because we commented on when it happened. I really should have taken notes.
I said it to you. I said you should take notes. We were enjoying it so much. I knew that we were immersed in the film and that if you didn't take notes, you weren't going to know. That's what I said. Can you give me some surrounding context? Maybe I can help.
No, I can't remember any.
Tim, I live jokes. I love jokes.
Well, then what was it?
I just need a little surrounding. I just need a little surrounding.
I can't remember,
context.
And this will be annoying to listen to.
Tim, can you just surround me with a little bit of context, please?
I like the plot. Like, I like that there's these aliens who are going, hey, this planet is full of warring species. This warring species is at war with itself. I wonder if it's because of how they procreate.
Yeah, but we got to investigate. That was their hypothesis, but they got distracted by the fucking.
They got into it, and that's the second highlight for me.
So, yeah, Captain Heffron would go down.
I like the bartender probably the most. I like the moment where he threw his receipts up in the air. I like the woman who was on the boat who I originally thought was Sybil Shepherd. And then when you didn't know who that was, I said, a more cool Reba McEntire, who you also didn't know who that was.
That's right.
And I think I really liked... no, that's it.
Those are all the things you liked. Yep. Did you not find the plot got a little daggy at the end?
Yeah, it did.
We had a really neat and concise film, which was Emmanuel teaching Captain Henron Williams how to... have sex, and then beyond that, sort of how to
seduce a lady.
And then they go back to the ship, And at some point, Emmanuel's like, look, this is great. I'm really into what you're doing, but I can't do this forever. I've got a life to live. And he's like, no, please. And she goes, okay, I'm going to change my body. If you recognize me and tell me it's me,
yeah,
I'll keep helping you out. If you don't, see you later.
I'm off.
And he says, of course, I'll be able to tell you. And
because they get into a conversation about essence and what the soul is, because obviously this is an alien, so he doesn't get concepts that we get and yeah. we talk about. So she's like, you know, he says, it's something like as appearance, you know, the most important thing. And she said, well, it's one part of sex, but it's also about the soul of a person, how they live, their essence. And then he becomes quite interested in this idea of an essence, and he's convinced that he can recognize an essence. And the way that he figures out that he could try and detect an essence is by fucking everyone on the ship. Because the way that you find out what is on the inside is by putting your penis in their vagina yeah. and checking. And he's wrong. Like, he was wrong every time.
Like some sort
he
of
was wrong so much.
Penis detective magnifying glass.
It was like a thermometer and a chicken.
Penis up inside ya, finding an entrance where they can. Eels up inside ya.
Oh, yep.
From the mighty bush.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But they had this really neat self-contained story. He winds up having sex with everyone, and then all the chickens come home to roost. The bartender loves it because he's been so jealous watching this guy just absolutely have a blast on the singles cruise. And eventually a woman who told Captain Hafron Williams she was not Emmanuel says, you're right, I am Emmanuel. And he's like, why the fuck did you not tell me? And she's like, bit of fun. And they go, okay. And you feel like we've just watched a really neat, fun,
yeah,
lighthearted,
good container for a porno.
Like, totally unproblematic, if not very heteronormative, softcore porno. And then they go back to the spaceship and they think, we need one more man to come to Earth and start fucking people. And they go back in this incredibly convoluted, tacked on third.
That's Raymond, everyone.
Is introduced. Raymond comes down.
Act 3, and Rise of Raymond.
Emmanuel starts behaving as Emmanuels of times gone past have. She is like trying to help friends who are going through emotionally challenging times by, instead of shapeshifting herself, by using other people or other aliens, other species, to seduce and have sex with their friends so that they can rediscover the joie de vivre that gets them out of bed in the morning, makes them tinkle on the ivories, have a bit of a good time. And so she brings this beautiful man named Raymond to her friend who lives in Paris's apartment. Her friend is devastated. Her husband left her a year ago for another woman. And Emmanuel says, you guys are going to fuck. And the friend says, no, we're not. But then they do. And it is incredible.
Well, Emmanuel gives a warning as well. She says, you guys are going to fuck. Do not fall in love with him.
Yeah.
It's very important.
And they do fuck. And she does fall in love with him. And because he has not experienced sex with a person before or any of this stuff, he in turn is reciprocating the love. And Emmanuel's like, oh, no. Here we go. And starts sort of overstepping her line. Starts saying, hey, because this is one thing you said. You said, you love the way that Emmanuel approaches guiding an alien through humanity. You say that you feel like you would overstep your bounds. You'd be a helicopter parent. You'd micromanage through every move. Emmanuel gives a long leash.
She does. She's like making sure that there's a little bit of guardrails on in case things get really wobbly. But she lets him make his own mistakes, fall down, scrape his sexual knees, and then get scabs on his sexual knees.
That's right.
And that's how you learn.
That's what you got to do. But later on, I feel like as she grows closer and feels a responsibility and maybe even an affinity for the aliens, she starts being like, you can't fall in love. And so her friend says she's in love with Raymond. Raymond says he's in love with a friend. And she's like, okay,
I've got to intervene.
I've created a bit of a problem here. And her plan is absolutely batshit and dog shit.
Yeah,
she finds the ex-husband who left her friend and says, do you want to get back with your friend? And he's sort of like, no. And she's like, okay, well, and gets Captain Heffron Williams to shapeshift into the body of her ex-husband, arrives at their engagement party between Raymond and the friend, and gets Captain Heffron Williams masquerading as the ex-husband to seduce the friend. And it's just so immoral.
It's bad.
And it's also there's no long-term hope for this plan.
We don't know the circumstances of the breakup as well.
No, we don't.
Maybe he was being a dirty dog.
Maybe he was being a dirty dog.
And then Emmanuel comes and dips her all back in, and she's like, you should get back with that guy. It's like, do you know what? I've done my healing. That was a difficult breakup. And Emmanuel, if you were any kind of a half-decent friend, you would leave me alone right now.
He was a dirty dog. She said that he found another woman, started sleeping with her, and left her.
Well,
and also,
the fuck?
He is absolutely... like, the guy, we see his apartment. He lives in an apartment in New Orleans, and the music he's listening to is an experimental jazz garage band track.
Yeah,
and
dog.
It is some, like, this. I will say this for the film. The score was atrocious.
I was into it. I was into the...
Can I quote you to you?
Yeah.
This is you speaking as though you are a producer of the film. I'm so sorry, we can't afford any music or anything that counts as music. That's what you said about the score of the film.
Yeah, but, you know, we all make our little comments, don't we, in the heat of the moment when the movie plays. What I liked is they had footage of, this was kind of, you know, just to take us from one scene to another, a little interstitial, a man playing saxophone, but they had dubbed over the top of it like a synth Casio saxophone sound. And I was like, man, you had the guy. You had the saxophone. Just fucking hit record, guys.
Yeah, let him play his instrument. But they would not. And then you said, because I'm the sax man. Yeah, I'm the sax man.
It's the tax man, you see.
And then you said, that's good. Has anyone done that? And I said, just because something rhymes, it doesn't mean it's good.
No, I think it's pretty good. You get the Tax Man by the Beatles.
I think people get
it. You chuck sax in there instead of tax.
The only way to make it work would be to instrumentalize the whole track with saxophones.
Not all of it.
All of it.
In fact, what would be good is if all the verses were saxophone and then you just had the choruses of some Liverpudlian... trill.
That song was anti-tax, eh?
Yeah, it's fucked, eh? It's like, hey, we finally got rich and famous now. Fuck the welfare state.
That's right.
They're trying to tax our everything, man. And why? Just because we're multimillionaires.
To their credit, they made it incredibly catchy.
That song was fucking propaganda, man.
Absolutely.
So he's been listening to a podcast called The Winds of Change. Do you know about that?
No.
It's a song... fuck, is it the Scorpions? The CIA wrote the song and then it got enormously huge.
What did they write the song for?
Oh man, I wish I'd listened to the podcast before I ventured into this because it's a really cool story that I can't remember. But I think they were trying to take down communism and so they were trying to insert like some shit-stirring rebellious songs. Yeah, that song, that track. Is that the Scorpions? Yeah.
Wind of Change.
It went fucking gangbusters, that song, and the CIA wrote it to try and, like, create some overthrowing of some governments.
Why did the CIA spend more of their time writing songs?
They're so damn good at it. It's a bona fide banger. They could have been as big as the Beatles.
Didn't even know it existed.
That song? Had you not heard it before?
Don't think so.
I reckon you'd recognize the whistling chorus. Nah.
Oh. Huh. Weird.
I hated that.
We live to laugh and we live to bone. Boner Inspector!
There he is. Oh, good. Hello, sir.
Boners, please. Boners, please. Show me your boners.
Tell you what. Probably the closest I got so far in the series.
Tell me why.
There was a lot of beautiful, topless women in this film having sex with men with jeans visibly on, and that is my kink.
Important to note, Tim has rolled the sleeves up on his t-shirt, so he's wearing a muscle singlet, and he's wearing a pair of jeans with ripped knees himself.
I'm just very
looks like he
warm.
Walked straight off the set of Emmanuel in Space.
Yeah. This is how they fuck in that movie.
It is. I also felt probably not the closest I've been to getting a boner, but the most aroused. This felt more like the...
How are those two things different for you?
You can be...
Emotionally moved?
I just think this is closer to my memories of the sort of Emmanuel films that I was watching as a teenage boy. This, the way that these cameras looked and the way that the whole thing was put together...
It looks like Days of Our Lives.
It felt more familiar to me as a Friday night Sky One after midnight phenomenon than all of the sort of artful European-style stuff we've seen so far. Like, I have memories of coming in and out of the story that was being... Not this particular story, but, like, the way that the story was told and the movie was constructed and the scenes were constructed.
Are you talking about the one we just watched or back when you were a boy?
I'm talking about sort of both. Like this, we are now in familiar...
When you say you were coming in and out of the story, were you talking about Emmanuel, Queen of the Galaxy, or were you talking about like remembering watching these when you were a teenager?
Option B.
Okay.
I'm saying I didn't recognize... I recognized the neighborhood, didn't recognize the house exactly, but I've been on this street.
Yeah.
And I like this street.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a nice street.
It makes sense. And there's really something to be said for... no subs or dubs. It's like weight training, and then you take the weights away, and you're like, oh, this is fucking easier. It's easier this way.
And it put me in a pretty good frame of mind, actually. Quite a receptive frame of mind.
I'm excited, but I'm also nervous, because I feel like they're going to get shitter after this first one. This was a really good flick, though. I dug it. And I'm interested to know where they go with it. I suspect... See, when
space.
I'll tell you what happened in my head when I heard, because this movie, for one reason or another, I'm guessing tax reasons, has two titles depending on what municipality you watch it in. In some territories, it is Queen of the Galaxy. In others, it is First Contact.
Emmanuel First Contact makes so much more sense because she does not seem to be the Queen of the Galaxy.
But I think First Contact might be a movie already. I'm thinking of Close Encounters. Never mind. I was thinking of a...
First Encounters of the Bone Kind.
Yeah, nice one, bro.
Thanks, bro.
A video game series called StarCraft, which features a character called Sarah Kerrigan, who is the self-styled Queen of Blades, after she is captured from her Terran base, which is overrun by the Zerg.
I call her the Queen of Lays.
That's pretty good. And then she becomes...
Because she's a fuck machine.
Yep. And she becomes the Queen of the Zerg. Until I think the adventures of the... first expansion of the second StarCraft, where I think she becomes Terran again. Oh no, she remains Zerg. Anyway, as soon as you say Queen of the Galaxy, I think Sarah Kerrigan from StarCraft, because in the first game, I think it's not Jim, it's someone else, calls her the Queen Bitch of the Universe.
Oh wow.
And it's a great line, because that game came out in like 1994.
I am really happy to be an audience surrogate here for all of those who did not play StarCraft and were using the entirety of their brain to keep up with the...
Did you get bits?
Train of
bits
thought.
Bits and pieces?
You played a game. The game is a flashpoint.
There's three species.
I don't
We've
need this
We've got the
bit.
Terran. The Terran are humanity.
Big time, don't need this bit.
Now, the Terran, they are like one species, so you play as them. But actually, if you play the single-player campaign mode, you then get to learn that they are factional as well. There is the Confederacy.
Yes.
And there's Jim Raynor, who like rails against them in the rebellion that he's trying to overthrow the Confederacy, which is led by Minsk, who actually does win ultimately.
Minsk, then, this is the name of a city in Russia.
Then we've got
that's pretty interesting.
Arcturus Minsk is his name. Then we've got the Protoss.
I think that's the mayor of the town Minsk in Russia.
The Protoss are
What do you think about Russia, Tim?
An alien species with advanced advanced technology.
Mm.
They're based on ancient
Egypt.
I don't
know a lot myself.
A lot of their artwork is like ancient Egyptian. They've got a lot of pyramids, a lot of electricity. Then you got the Zerg. The Zerg are another alien species, and they're more animalistic. They were both sired into being by the Zelnaga, the ancient ones. The Protoss.
Do you work for this game? Has this game been rebooted recently?
Yeah, it has. And I tell you what, everyone's very angry about that. But
why?
I guess this isn't a video game podcast. Because, well, they took... Oh, wait, am I thinking of... No, I'm thinking of Warcraft, actually. It's made by the same people. They rebooted Warcraft and they broke it. And they took away the old version. Everyone's mad. Anyway, I'm giving Emmanuel in space first contact 5 out of 5 dongs.
Before I can set you free, I need you to do me one favor.
It's George Lazenby, a man who I didn't even see in the film. I'm so glad he's here.
I need you to pitch me a porno.
I need you to pitch me a porno.
Well, me, George Lazenby, is sitting on a plane, and I'm next to a beautiful woman, and I unzip my trousers, and I remove my very long underpants. My underpants reach down.
Like long johns?
Sort of. They're like capri underpants. They're between my ankles and my knees.
Wow.
And I pull down my underpants.
And it would take ages.
It takes roughly 2 hours. And I'm struggling, and the steward comes over and says, "Would you like a hand, Mr. Lazenby?" And I say, "No. This is part of it."
That was a great opening for the maybe cabin crew to get involved on a bit of bone time, but I guess that's not where your adventure's going.
This is my porno.
Yeah, I understand.
And so there's 2 hours of me struggling with my capri underpants, and everyone on the plane is asleep. And then I'm so physically exhausted from removing my underpants, I fall asleep too.
Everyone's asleep on the plane, just having a lovely sleep.
And when I wake up, I am in trouble.
Why?
Because everyone else is already awake, and I'm sleeping with my penis out on a commercial airliner.
It's no good. Are you in first class?
No.
Oh, they don't let you get away with that shit in coach. I'll tell you that for free.
No. And so I get escorted off the plane, and I'm taken in a van to a prison.
Oh, no. This is taking a turn. And no one's had sex yet.
That's right. And in the prison, I'm given my own cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend the 12 hours waiting to see a lawyer or make my phone call.
I see.
Furiously masturbating.
Jesus.
But I cannot achieve an erection.
Oh, man, this is grim.
12 hours of me fumbling around with my flaccid cock.
All right, here's my one.
Do you want to make it?
No.
It's a 14-hour porno.
Seriously?
2 hours of me removing my underpants on the plane. 12 hours of me trying to achieve an erection.
I was going to try and pitch a StarCraft porno, but I'm out of juice after that. That has decimated my spirit. I've got nothing left. Well done, George Lazenby, destroyer of creativity.
Do you want to know the secret to listening?
What's that? It's deep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.